So the first time I have ever heard of service was in 4-H camp. Do y'all know 4-H camp? Okay. Well, for those of you that don't, 4-H is a service opportunity. It's a service organization that many people grew up with in 4th and 5th and middle school. And what it does is it demonstrates different life skills and different places, opportunities for personal development as a teenager. And I think it just gives people something to do. But it was a great organization that I really worked with a lot. And, you know, and there was a motto, right? I pledge my head to clearer thinking. Anybody can help me out? My heart to greater loyalty, my hands for larger service, and my health for better living, right? So we get that. And one of the things that we had to keep track of in our various 4-H camps as we got older were these things called record books. Okay, record books. I'm not sure how far along they come, but we had to do what was called record books. Now, what record books were are documents that helped the student show all the service opportunities that they did throughout the year to better their community. There had to be photos. There had to be writing samples. There had to be documentation. It had to be as proof that you helped your community. And these record books were judged every year. They were in order to win a ribbon in what we call the district project achievement. You must have had a well-utilized and well-worn record book. Your presentation in your category that you presented in did not mean anything if you didn't have a well-presented record book. There was a highlight on service. But the point of this story was that the word service did not become synonymous with church until much, much later when I discovered MCC in 2005. Now, isn't that sad? I did not learn service from the church. I had to learn it from an outside organization. Now, as a former Southern Baptist, you know, we had opportunities for service. Any of you remember the Lottie Moon? Yes, okay. Do y'all remember the Lottie Moon? It was this big service organization that we had to give every year to missions in Africa and Asia and South America. And I've said, well, why can't we give it here to the U.S.? Because we need Jesus too, apparently. But I didn't fully recognize greater service and its relationship with Christ and in the church until 2005. Throughout the years that I have been with MCC, whether that be here or in Tennessee or in LA or in Arizona, I am constantly reminded that service is more than just something to make us feel good. Service is more than that. Service is a necessity, and that if we are really to be followers of Jesus and talk the talk, we gonna need to walk the walk and provide service to the greater community. Amen. Amen? Amen? It's not just something that we keep locked up indoors. It needs to be outside. We must embrace this whole idea and whole concept of service. If we are to really live out Jesus' mission in the world, we must be willing to serve the world and each other. This week we continue with a sermon series on what I call Unlocking the Mystery of Christ. Now last week we talked about the idea of faithfulness, through faithfulness with church and faithfulness with each other's and faithfulness to ourselves. This week we're going to unlock the mystery of Christ through service. To me, service is one of those multi-dimensional, multi-sensory, multi-layered words in Christianity that we like to throw out just to make us look good. Well, do y'all have service? Yeah, we got service. We do this, and that's it. And we a congregation of 500 people. Well, great. How many show up? Two. Is that really service? I want to challenge the idea that if we aren't fully serving the world, who are we fooling? Are we fully serving the world as Jesus commanded us? Are we serving ourselves? And our image, our personality, we like to say it, but when it comes to actually doing it and being it, do we actually do that? Our scripture passage indicates that when we are a good servant of Christ, we radically transform the world through our acts and the personification of Christ through our works for people. That song, "We will know that we are Christians by our love," means that when we serve one another, when we engage one another in our acts of service, when we engage the world in service to make the world a better place, that's where service really happens. So when I think of service, I think of only two things. I know. I like to throw people a surprise every now and then. I told Cheryl Parmley that on the way. I said, I got a surprise for you today. Only two things today. Number one, service puts Christ first. Service puts Christ first. In our passage and in the letter to the Colossians, we see the phrase "in Christ" a lot. You saw that in your passage. In Christ, for Christ, through Christ, with Christ. Christ is the example the writer was teaching in Colossians, that this is how we're supposed to act. This is who we're supposed to embody as the example and as the model and as the main teacher if we are to call ourselves a church. I believe that Colossians' main theme hints at the power of Christ in the world today. Now, this letter, under another name, because many scholars believe that Paul did not write the letter to the Colossians, this author has a high Christology, meaning he really embraces and examples Christ as the model for us to live. He has a very high Christology, and he sets up the idea of what it really means to follow Christ. Now, one commentator mentions that Colossians emphasizes the power and divinity of the Messiah. We need to forget that when we read Colossians, that Christianity is a billion-dollar, billion-person empire, as it was 2,000 years ago. We need to forget that today churches sit in a life of luxury when 2,000 years ago, that didn't exist, y'all. It was all we need to hide in secret. We need to hide under close cover. We need to hide under protection. We can't have a marquee out there that I change every week. It needs to be something sacred and something small that people can resonate with so they know that we're meeting. Okay? The Roman Empire was not the place of general acceptance when it came to Christianity. So when we read Colossians, we need to get that out of our head. But I digress. Colossians emphasizes that Christ is the source of all created things, as that which quickens and sustains all things, and Christ is the head of all things. There were some problems with the Colossians. Did you hear that? Did you hear that there may have been a little bit of conflict in your passage this morning? The conflict was that there were people that were coming into this church and practicing other things and saying, you don't need Jesus. You don't need Christ. What you need is these rules and regulations, that we have the idea, that we have the knowledge, and we can share it with you, but you don't need Jesus in this. He's not necessary. The author was determined to bring these Christians who were beginning to fall under that. He was beginning to bring these Christians back to the first things of the gospel. A core one of which is that Jesus Christ is the fullness, and that he is the firstborn, and that he is the one who has come. He is the Messiah. And I believe The clue to the first things of this gospel is this idea of service, as the writer recommends that he became a servant of God, that God, through his service, was able to do that. Folks, to really embody the teachings of Jesus, we must be willing to provide service to a world who really needs it. When I was with MCC in Arizona, one of the first Sundays they sucked me into was somebody telling me about Habitat for Humanity. And let me tell y'all, they were saying, well, we got this great fundraiser, you should join us. That's bad. Next thing I know, I'm sucked into this thing called MCC, and I'm now here, but that's a whole different Oprah altogether. Habitat for Humanity was a service. And years later, when I was still at the University of Arizona, we did our AIDS walk there. We raised over, this was with students, and freshman students don't make a lot of money, as many of us know. We raised $15,000. $15,000. If we really profess the name of Jesus and are to be really serious about our faith and who we are as followers of Jesus, we must be willing to serve.
Amen.
Right? I'm going to say that again. If we really want to be serious about professing the name of Jesus Christ in our life, we must be willing to serve.
Amen.
The time of us sitting in what I call our marshmallow palaces and our lives of luxury are now over. It's time that we get up and do something about this world. We know that this world is in trouble. This world is not in good shape. This world needs us now more than ever. We need to be out there. We need to be at places like Pride to know that God still loves us unconditionally. We need to be at places like bars. Yes, I said that. We need to be at places like AA meetings. We need to be at places like in the south side of the city. We need to be in places like Gulfport and the beaches. We need to be in places like habitats and shelters and no-kill zones. We need to be in places where people feel like God does not exist anymore. People need to hear a word. We have that word. Why are we not sharing it? Service through Jesus. And finally, point two. Serving the world, which we've already talked about just a little bit. When we remember who we serve, and when we remember who the foundation is of our spiritual lives, we are better able to serve the world with joy. With joy. Acts of service are one of the most wonderful things to pass through this world. To really be the church of the 21st century, we must stop doing acts of service just to say we do it. Instead, we must be willing to serve the world so we can be the church that God has called us to be. One of the commentators mentioned this, that in the book of Colossians, there is a lesson for the church today, especially whenever it is tempted to become a locus of worldly power and influence. Service, sacrifice, and humility marked the ministry of the one who really is the Lord of all. The people who bear the name of Jesus even now should seek to do likewise. If we really want this church to grow, if we really want this church to thrive, we cannot rely on the pastors 100% of the time. It takes you, laity. It takes you to make that difference. It takes what God has given you to do something great in this world. God has given you something special. Last week I told y'all that y'all were sexy. This week I'm going to tell you that God has given you something good in this world to share. Don't keep it bottled up. Don't keep it bottled up. You have gifts that are amazing and beautiful. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And when you share those gifts with the world, good things happen. You transform the world as you transform others with your service to humanity. And if we are not serving the world to help transform the world, we are not doing our job. We might as well close the doors forever. A church exists because of who we are and how we serve the world. Places like Beacon House that we serve the third and fourth Sunday of the month. Why can't it be every Sunday of the month? In Seattle, there is a program for people who come to this place, supported by MCC there, that have this harm reduction program where they're not just saying, quit doing drugs, but they're going out to say, if you are still doing it, here are needles. Here are programs that will help. Why can't we do something like that here? There are serious problems in the world today. So then my question is, are we doing our job in providing service to the greater community? When we meet the world where they are, it shows that we care. The church can't consider ourselves immune from society and culture unless we want to consider ourselves irrelevant and out of touch. King of Peace, are we ready to serve the world? Then I encourage you to unlock the mystery of Christ through service. And as we do, may we continue to transform lives one person at a time so that we can have our own record books to celebrate and embrace. Amen,
amen.
And amen. Let us pray. Precious God, we give you thanks for this day. And as we see you in the lives of all those we meet, may we have the tenacity and the audacity to serve this world with greater joy and humility. May we continue to be the church that you have called us to be, a church that is full of service and a church that is full of love. May we see you wherever we go, as we continue to have Jesus Christ as the centerpiece of our life. And we do this in Jesus' name. Amen.